The U.S. Supreme Court today hears an argument in a case that, according to the Bush administration, has the potential to dramatically limit its power to fight the war on terror. The case concerns the liability of the U.S. government and its agents for damages when they kidnap someone in a foreign country and bring him to the U.S. for trial. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In 1990, Dr. Humberto Alvarez Machain was indicted for his alleged role in the torture and murder of a U.S. drug enforcement agent in Mexico. When Mexico refused to extradite him, the U.S. paid bounty hunters to do the job. They kidnapped him and brought him to the U.S., where he remained in jail for 2 years. When his case came to trial in 1992, the judge ruled there was insufficient evidence for a conviction. The doctor returned to Mexico and sued U.S. agents and their Mexican bounty hunters for $20 million in damages. He won a comparatively small sum, $25,000, but it was a symbolic victory, and the award was affirmed by a federal appeals court in California. The Bush administration then appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which will hear arguments in the case today. What started out as a drug case for the U.S. government in 1990, however, has been transformed into a terrorism case in 2004. As the government put it in one of its briefs, kidnappings like this one are rare, but they are necessary, particularly in the war on terror, and might be necessary one day if Osama bin Laden is found in a country that can't or won't extradite him. At the heart of the case is a relatively obscure federal statute enacted in 1789, which gives the U.S. federal courts jurisdiction over claims for wrongs committed in violation of international law by American citizens or residents. In the last quarter century, the law has been used in cases involving human rights violations, like torture and genocide. And in this case, the appeals court found that U.S. agents and their proxies had violated the law against arbitrary, unauthorized arrest. Lawyer Carter Phillips represents Jose Francisco Soso, one of the men the U.S. paid to kidnap Dr. Alvarez. If the lower court decision is not reversed, he says, the implications for national security are dire.
The implication of the holding would be that if an Afghan citizen had assisted in capturing bin Laden, he would have been subject to a lawsuit by bin Laden in a United States court after we had presumably convicted him of his offense.
But lawyer Paul Hoffman, representing Dr. Alvarez, says no one disputes the president's authority or the attorney general's to authorize a national security kidnapping or arrest. In this case, he observes, there was no such high-level authorization, nor was there any threat to national security.
It's a completely different situation when a low-level government official decides to act for the nation. And in fact, it's at odds with the cooperative efforts to fight a war against terrorism or a war against drugs. To have low-level officials kidnap somebody from an allied nation and cause a diplomatic scandal and actually impair our relations with other governments.
While the Alien Tort Statute, as it's known, was enacted at the founding of the Republic, its impact has broadened in the last quarter century, beginning with a case of Dolly Filortiga, whose father was a vocal opponent of Paraguay's dictator in the 1970s. 28 years ago today, her 17-year-old brother was tortured and killed by a police inspector. At 3 a.m, she says, the policeman delivered her brother's tortured body and told her to keep her mouth shut.
I remember telling him, tonight you have power over me, but tomorrow I will tell the world.
Filortiga and her family fled to the U.S., and 4 years later, when they learned that the police inspector was in New York, they sued him under the Alien Tort Statute for damages, subsequently winning a judgment of $10 million. The lawsuit was backed by the Carter administration, as have been subsequent suits brought in other cases of torture, genocide, and political killings. There have been about 100 cases brought to date. In June, for instance, another one goes to trial against the one-time head of Honduran military intelligence, who now resides in the United States. 5 of his alleged victims, who also live in the U.S., are charging him with torture. One is a Spanish-language newspaper publisher named Oscar Reyes.
They were beating me like a piñata. Still now, I can use my arms. But the worst part, I didn't know what happened with my wife. Later, I found out that she was tortured with electrical shocks in her vagina. They damaged the ovaries, and we have to do later here a hysterectomy.
The Alvarez case, however, could put an end to these lawsuits. The Bush administration will argue today that the Founding Fathers never intended the statute to be enforceable without further action from Congress. Lawyer Carter Phillips.
Remember, Congress was creating the federal courts. There were no federal courts at the time prior to this, so this was a huge event, and conferring limited authority on them is not at all surprising in the context of 1789.
But Dr. Alvarez lawyer Paul Hoffman counters that the new nation in 1789 was anxious to prove that it would enforce international norms.
The Founding Fathers, when they created the Constitution and then the first Judiciary Act 2 years later, were very concerned that the federal courts have authority to resolve law of nations issues so that our country could show to the rest of the world, particularly to France and England, that we as a new nation would live up to our responsibilities under the law of nations.
Hoffman disputes claims that the Alien Tort Statute is rapidly becoming a Pandora's box in which not just individuals are held accountable, but corporations too. A number of multinational corporations are currently fighting such suits in U.S. courts. Unocal, the petroleum multinational, for instance, is battling a lawsuit over its alleged collaboration with the Burmese government in the use of forced labor to build a gas pipeline. Lawyer Hoffman maintains, however, that only the most egregious cases can be successful.
What the courts have actually done in these cases is they have enforced only a select few norms which the United States completely agrees with. We agree with the prohibition against torture. Norms against genocide.
And the norm here is?
It's the prohibition against arbitrary detention and an arrest without lawful authority.
Lawyer Carter Phillips responds.
The United States has never embraced the idea that arbitrary detention is a violation of international law.
That response is aimed at the fine points of international law. But the thrust of the argument Phillips and the Bush administration will make in the Supreme Court today is much bigger. They will urge the High Court to undo all the lower court rulings of the last quarter century and to, in essence, make the Alien Tort Statute into a toothless tiger. If Congress wants teeth in the law, they will argue, Congress will have to write them in. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.